Governor Tony Evers is preparing to shut down all non-essential businesses starting tomorrow to stop the spread of the coronavirus.
And the order comes as the number of confirmed cases in the Badger State now rises above 400.
Today's episode, Governor Tony Evers introduced the Safer at Home order in an effort to help slow the spread of the COVID-19 coronavirus in Wisconsin.
If we continue on our current path without implementing Safer at Home to flatten the curve, the models show us that we would likely have 22,000 Wisconsinites who are positive for COVID-19 by April 8th and an estimated 440 to 1,500 deaths.
The order effectively closed a number of businesses across the state which were deemed non-essential and caused the number of unemployment claims in the state to skyrocket. I spoke with state and politics reporter Mitchell Schmidt about the staggering number of unemployment claims and the state lawmakers' plans to deal with them. Mitch, on Tuesday, Governor Evers issued a Safer at Home order. What exactly does that mean?
Right. So the Safer at Home order, you know, we first heard about it on Monday, and it was a little light on specifics, but we knew that it was coming Tuesday. So it really wasn't until Tuesday that we got a sense of the businesses that would be impacted. It's similar to what you may have been hearing about in other states. They come with different names, whether that's shelter in place. In this instance, it's Safer at Home. It's a public health emergency type of order. It went into effect on Wednesday, the 25th, and will remain in place at least until the 24th of April, unless it's altered or extended. The gist of the order is that any business that is deemed non-essential is required to close operations. And it's a very wide range of businesses that are impacted by this, but it also includes a lot of exemptions, whether that's healthcare or grocery stores, those that are critical for either the economy or, in addition to that, relating to responding to the COVID-19 coronavirus outbreak. You know, just for example, if you're talking about businesses that are allowed to stay open, you know, some of the biggest ones would be healthcare related, pharmacies, grocery stores. People still need to be able to get their, supplies. A lot of manufacturing remains open. That kind of plays a little bit more into the economy, but also, you know, as we've seen, there's been a lot of manufacturing companies that have been shifting up some operations to face masks or respirators, things like that. Some of the businesses that have been ordered closed include golf courses, fitness centers, swimming pools, playgrounds. You know, those are kind of areas that draw in a lot of foot traffic. And obviously with a respiratory disease like this, that's something that the state is trying to avoid. But there's also other examples like clothing stores, sporting goods stores, entertainment venues. And those have kind of been deemed as, again, as non-essential. And again, when I say essential or non-essential, you know, I think it's just, you know, important to note that's how they're being classified in this order from the governor.
How has the closure of non-essential businesses affected unemployment claims in Wisconsin?
Actually, the Department of Workforce Development they've got a page up now that kind of compares, you know, kind of the most recent numbers that they have by day, and they compare that to the same span or the same day, I should say, from a year prior. This time of year in 2019 was a little bit more normal than what we're kind of dealing with now. So it kind of provides an idea of how many people have been laid off or furloughed or are unable to work as a result of the outbreak. Check here. I think some of the most recent numbers we have had, at least as far as available as of Wednesday, you know, over the last 7 days, so this would have been from March 18th through Tuesday of this week, the 24th, there were more than 105,000 initial unemployment insurance claims. And if you look at that same 7 day span in 2019, it's just over 4,800. I'm not going to be able to do the math here, but I mean, that's obviously a exponential increase. So that's obviously, it's a bit of a moving target. It's something we're kind of trying to update every day, but ultimately it's kind of helping underscore the economic impact that these sort of orders and shutting down businesses, which public health officials have, you know, deemed very necessary to minimize the spread of the disease, there's a big impact on businesses and people who need a paycheck. So, you know, we've talked with officials over at Department of Workforce Development. They're the ones who, if you want to make an unemployment claim, that's where you're going to go. So they're processing all that. But, you know, they have, you know, indicated that they've been seeing this huge spike, and that obviously forces them to redirect staff to handle that. And the phone line for that application process, and I think the website, you know, they've been dealing with some very serious kind of overload issues in regard to unemployment claims. Probably important to note that all the numbers we've got right now are all considered preliminary. It could change, but I mean, at the end of the day, there's still that increase.
You were on a call with the state legislative leaders earlier where they discussed unemployment in Wisconsin. Could you provide some insight into what you heard?
I can't quote anybody specifically. I'm still kind of going through that call. It really only concluded about, you know, 30 minutes ago. So I'm still kind of working through that. But in regard to the Safer at Home order and the rising unemployment insurance claims, the takeaway from Republican leaders in the state legislature, and specifically we're talking about is Assembly Speaker Robin Voss and Senate Majority Leader Scott Fitzgerald. Those are the two who held the call. I think there is some concern of the overall economic impact that this is going to have on the state. It's really hard to say at this point how big that impact is going to be. You know, I think one thing that it's important to note is in regard to finances, you know, the state's unemployment fund at the end of 2019 was just shy of $2 billion. But when you compare that to 2007, before the last economic recession, that fund was at $600 million, considerably less. So I think what people are kind of, you know, pointing out is that the state is in a better position now than it was during the last recession for something like this. Granted, this is, you know, this is a whole new can of worms. The last recession was a little bit more simple in comparison to this, because the biggest challenge we've got right now is those who are out of work. You know, if you get laid off from your restaurant job, for example, it's nearly impossible at this point to take that skill to another restaurant because it's a statewide shutdown for sit-in services. So I think it's going to be adding some very different challenges than we have maybe witnessed in previous economic downturns.
What's the state's plan to deal with this high number of unemployment claims?
You know, I think the main thing is it's still a little bit of a wait and see scenario. One of the big things that was repeated on the call with the Republican leaders in the Senate and Assembly was the federal stimulus package that is currently being discussed. I haven't gone through the details on that yet, but I believe that includes some funding for those who are out of work. You know, I think that right now one of the biggest takeaways is state legislators are looking at that federal package to see what that addresses, and then where will they need to step in, and whether that involves, you know, shifting additional money into the unemployment fund or, you know, stimulus package for other impacted industries or what have you. It's still very much up in the air. One of the biggest challenges that I think people are anticipating, though, is, to make matters worse, the budget surplus, which was expected to be in the hundreds of millions of dollars at the end of this biennium budget. I get the sense from lawmakers that they're not anticipating seeing much of that at all at this point. So what was at once viewed as the opportunity for a tax cut or additional spending in education could be essentially a moot point at where things kind of stand now.
It sounds like they're planning to funnel that surplus into assisting those who are affected financially by the pandemic.
Yeah. And as far as what the specifics of that entail, it's really hard to say at this point. You know, I mean, the biggest question right now is how long will the, you know, will we be dealing with COVID-19? You know, when will, you know, do we kind of get back to that quote unquote normal?
The bottom line is that COVID-19 has been and continues to be a rapidly evolving situation, sometimes changing by the hour. That means that sometimes our responses have to change as we have more information. And if you're going to prevent and manage the further spread and ensure that the healthcare workers and system aren't overwhelmed, then that means we have to be willing to act as quickly as we are able to do to keep people safe. And that's what's always going to be the bottom line for me, keeping people safe.
From the Wisconsin State Journal, I'm Elizabeth Beyer. Thanks for listening to Front Page, a podcast that takes a look at some of the State Journal's most interesting recent stories. You can find this podcast on our website at www.madison.com/WSJ, iTunes, Google Play, or Spotify.